Continuing with you this morning in our study of Galatians, Paul's letter to the Galatian Christians in Galatians 5. Today, starting at verse 16, and again, we're dealing with some things that are a little bit difficult to understand. So the Holy Spirit, who we've been talking to today, is going to have to show us what all this means and how it applies to our lives. So be listening to him as he speaks to you now. I'm going to read the scripture starting at verse 16. Chapter 5, verse 16. Paul says, "So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the sinful nature. They are in conflict with each other, so that you do not do what you want. But if you're led by the Spirit, you are not under law. The acts of the sinful nature are obvious: sexual immorality, impurity and debauchery, idolatry and witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. And I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other." I've entitled the message this morning, "Walk This Way." Most of us in this room are already walkers. My hunch is all of you walked into this building today in your own power. Praise the Lord that we can say that. That's not true of every congregation, but that's true this morning. We've already learned how to walk. Most of us in this room have already been walking with Jesus for a while. I have a question for you. Is there a right way and a wrong way to walk? Some of us think, well, if I'm walking, isn't that good enough? Lucinda Everett doesn't think so. She says that the average person takes between 3,000 and 4,000 steps a day and has been walking since their first birthday, but frighteningly, most of us are still doing it incorrectly. Go figure. All these years, we've been walking the wrong way. Walking properly has plenty of benefits, she says, from improving general posture and muscle tone to preventing twisted ankles, calluses, and long-term joint damage. But it takes time and concentration to achieve. As I was reading this, I'm thinking, I don't remember spending a lot of time thinking about how to walk. Do you? Well, maybe we need to be thinking about this a little more. In fact, walking correctly is not instinctive. As fitness expert Tony Gallagher explains, children from about 8 onwards copy the way their parents walk. Uh-oh. You can see this in families strolling down the street, and it has obvious disadvantages if they pick up on their bad habits, he says. So what is exactly walking correctly? According to Richard Handford, a podiatrist from the Society of Chiropodists, forgive me for saying that wrong, and podiatrists, it's not as simple as just getting the posture right. Yes, we should be walking with our shoulders back and down, but did you know that your arms should be bent at 90 degrees? Do you know that, Steve, when you're walking your dog? Okay. It takes practice to reverse bad habits. You can learn a lot about how a person walks, or you can learn a lot about a person by how they walk. Did you know you can tell how many years someone's going to live by how they walk? or whether they have a ruptured disc or flat feet, etc., etc., etc. I have a question for you again. Is there a right way and a wrong way to walk with Jesus? Well, Paul says here in this chapter, after everything we've been teaching you in this letter, this is what I'm really trying to say. You can't walk in the flesh if you're going to be a Christ follower. I'm going to explain that a little bit more as we go along. I want to define for you what flesh is, at least in this chapter. Flesh is that part of our humanity. I'm using an illustration of a heart here. It's the part of our humanity. It's the human nature part of us. It's the seat of sinful rebellion against God. It's what causes us to say to Him, "Oh, I've got this one, Lord. I'll take it from here." You ever done that? That's the flesh. "You're going to really like this, Lord. Wait until you see what I'm going to do for you. You'll be so impressed." Nope. That's the flesh. Paul learned that all of our attempts to be righteous are like filthy rags in his sight. The flesh neutralizes all of our attempts to make a positive impact on what God thinks of us. The flesh is a subtle, satanically encouraged part of our human being that can lead one into rebellion against God without them even knowing it. Well, that's flesh. I'm sure many of the soldiers who were arrested by police in Turkey last Friday in the streets of their cities wondered how they had journeyed into such a place. How is it that I'm actually working against the law rather than helping to secure it? The flesh is a little like that. The flesh, when operating on emotion rather than the wisdom of God, can do that to good followers of Jesus too. Which way are you walking? Our humanness is constantly promoting the flesh. Now let's talk about spirit for a minute. Another word for spirit is Holy Spirit. Give me some other names for Holy Spirit. Comforter. Counselor. Yep. Spirit of God. Jesus' Spirit. There's nothing worldly about the Spirit at all. John 16 tells us that the Spirit will guide you into all truth. And the Bible tells us, this is the best part of all, the Bible tells us that His Spirit lives inside of us, those of us who are Christ followers. It's built in. It's an onward, it's an onboard counselor and guide. And Jesus insists that we walk in His Spirit. You are the Spirit house of God. God's Spirit lives in us. He abides in us. We're the temple of the Holy Spirit, the Bible says. Okay, now, the flesh and the Spirit are in conflict with each other. Have you figured that out yet? We need to say that this morning because we have this battle going on. And I'm telling you this because some of us feel defeated. I'm not a very good Christian. Some of us are feeling hopeless. Don't feel that way. Don't give up. It's an ongoing battle. And when will this battle stop? When? Yeah. It's not going to stop if you're going to follow Christ. Keith needs to know that. It's going to be a battle, all right? It's going to be a battle for you, Terry. Whether he gets better or not, it's going to be a battle between the flesh and the spirit. Until Jesus comes back, all right? And then the battle will stop, all right? It's going to be like those of us that go out the door after a hot funeral service. We're going to walk out the door and say, "Oh, isn't this wonderful outside?" Okay? It's going to be a relief when He comes back. Don't give up, though. It's not going to end until we see Jesus. And for what we as human beings want is against what God's Spirit wants. And what God's Spirit wants is against what we as human beings want. Paul talks about that over in Romans chapter 7, I believe. The handbook on Paul's letter, which I depend on a lot as I work on my sermons, translates this verse at the end of verse 17 this way. These two are enemies. And this means that if the Spirit directs your lives, you cannot do what you want to do, which is to satisfy the desires of the human nature. Did you get that? I'm going to say it again. These two are enemies, the flesh and the spirit. And this means that if the Spirit directs your lives, you cannot do what you want to do, which is to satisfy the desires of the human nature. That's where we want to get. Where the Spirit's in control of us. We're walking in His Spirit, so we don't want to do what the flesh wants us to do. All right, the next thing I'm going to say to you, doesn't have any underlining meanings, all right? But I want to say to you that the Spirit trumps the law. I tried to think of a better word for that this morning, okay? But I couldn't. The Spirit trumps the law. Verse 17 says, "The Spirit and the flesh are not in a stalemate. The flesh does not frustrate the desires of the Spirit. Rather, the Spirit frustrates the desires of the flesh." Let me see if I can explain to you. When you're struggling with your thought life, when you're doing some stinking thinking, and we all do that, try this next time there's stinking thinking going on. Begin worshiping Jesus. Make some statements of truth about Christ. "I know you're the Lord of my life, O Lord. I thank you that you died on the cross for my sins and my thoughts." Just begin making statements like that. And those fleshly thoughts, 10 to 1, will begin to evaporate in your mind. If you haven't ever done that, practice it. It's incredible how God can use that and how quickly the light of the Spirit who lives in you pushes out the darkness. It doesn't work the other way around. The devil would like to think the flesh is as powerful in our lives as a spirit. It's not, okay? You need to know that. Another way to say this is, the two are enemies, and this means that if the Spirit directs your lives, you cannot do what you want to do, which is to satisfy the desires of the human nature. Verse 18, if you can no longer satisfy the desires of the human nature, when you let Jesus justify you with His blood, you're no longer subject to the laws. Laws don't apply when you're walking in the Spirit. The law cries, "Uncle," Romans 10:4. Christ is the end of the law. The law is not necessary for you when you are in Christ. Have you noticed that the laws do not have authority over you unless you are breaking them? Did you know it's against the law to walk on Interstate 495? It's a law in most states throughout the country. If you have an interstate, you're not supposed to walk on the interstate. I walk every day. I try to walk every day unless it's hot or unless it's rainy or unless I'm tired. But I try to walk every day. And I usually walk 2 or 3 miles when I walk. But I never walk on 495. Because I don't walk on 495, the law is unnecessary. All right? It has no effect on me. All right, it's not needed. Paul is saying that if we walk in the Spirit, all those laws that you guys are worried about, fellas, all those, you don't need to have knives. You don't need to be worrying about what part of you should cut. You don't need to worry about that. If you're walking in the Spirit, the laws aren't necessary anymore, because the Spirit will always keep you confined in the obedience of following Jesus. Flesh and spirit are mutually exclusive ways of walking. The flesh and spirit are mutually exclusive ways of walking. Verse 18 says, either people live according to the flesh by satisfying its desires, or they live according to the Spirit of God in a manner that reflects the character of Jesus. And Paul lists some of those characteristics in 22 and 23. Wonderful list here. Let's go to another slide here. Let's go to the next slide. Oh, I'm getting ahead of myself. Sorry. I just complicate poor John's life back there, all right? Over half of the works of the flesh listed here refer to forms of possible conflict among people. Did you know that? The acts of the flesh are obvious. You can always see those. Let me start at verse 22. No, I don't want to start there, do I? Verse 19, the acts of the sinful nature are obvious. And the acts of the Spirit are obvious too in verse 22. I do want to read that. But the fruit of the Spirit is love and joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. People who make it a practice to live according to the flesh cannot count on a good result at the resurrection. Did you see that verse? I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Paul says you're Christians. You're either walking in the path of the Spirit, the Spirit has set out for you, or you're walking in the path that you have set out for yourself. Only one of those paths will bring you any kind of real satisfaction. It's more important, Paul is saying, it's more important that your flesh is crucified than that it be circumcised. Paul was challenging these believers in AD 49 to get with the program that the Spirit has laid out for believers. And this morning, 1967 years later, I'm challenging you to get serious about your walk with Christ too. You're crucified with Him. If you're not, it's time to be crucified with Him. It's time to know that you're a believer. Another thing I want to share is we can't walk on the edge. You can't go back and forth. We can't do that fence thing. I heard a preacher from New Mexico tell us that where he lives, you can't sit on the fence because all the fences there are barbed wire. It's not a dress rehearsal that we're in. We're not going to get another chance to live this life. We took Zach out to Storyland last Wednesday. I told you we were going to do that. And it was another one of those hot days. We went up to Storyland. And one of the things that Judy and I was looking forward to is when you come down the China bamboo chute, there's a picture that they take. And at the bottom of about that, you can go get a picture. And we've taken our first grandson when he was 3. Oh, his mouth is open and he's laughing, and they take the picture at just exactly the right time, and we've got the picture in the yellow frame there on his bureau. And then when his brother was 3 years old, Ben, we took him up and we're going around the corner, and just as we get to where the camera is, he says, "Grandpa, I'm getting out." I said, "You are not." He said, "I am. I don't want to be here." And so he has this ugly looking face on it as we're going by the camera because Grandpa's holding him in the boat as we go down over the edge. Well, so we've got Sammy's and we've got Ben's, and now we're going to do Zach's. So we're looking forward to this, Judy and I. And as we get into this little boat, Zach says, I don't think I want to go. I said, "Oh, yeah, you do. This is going to be really fun." So I don't think so. So he gets in the boat and we go around the corner. And he says, "Oh, that was cool." And then we go up this big long thing. And he says, I hear him saying, "Grandpa." He said, "I don't want to do this." He's doing the Ben thing. And I'm thinking about how I'm going to hold him in the boat at the top. And I says, "No, it's going to be fine. At the top, there's a camera." I says, "I want you to look in the camera." And he's looking right down. He says, "Grandpa, I don't want to do this." And we're going at the top, and we go by the camera, and there's a picture of me pointing. And there's a picture of Zach like this. All right, we get to the bottom, and the guy says, "You want the picture or not?" He says, "Yeah, I want all three." So we've got a picture of each one of the boys. As we're walking out, Judy says, "Oh, we could have gone back and done it all over again because the rides are all free, but we're exhausted about that point anyway." The point I'm trying to make is this: a dress rehearsal. You can't do it over again. All right, it's a one-time shot that we have. When Jesus returns, he isn't going to listen to excuses about why you didn't walk with him after he saved us. Your idea of how to live for him has no merit to him. His idea and his plan for how we are to live for him is the only idea that will count on that day. His idea, by the way, is Jesus. His idea is that we walk in the things of the Spirit and that we allow the Spirit to show us how to walk in this world that we're living in. We need to spend time with the expert walker, the ultimate personal trainer. He's called the Parakletos. That's another word for the Holy Spirit. Parakletos means one who walks alongside. We can think we're walking correctly, but then when the expert shows us how to walk, we wonder if we have ever walked right before or not. There was another time I took my son, grandson Sammy, down to Burlington, Massachusetts to buy a bow from Emery Lucia. How do you say that? Emery L. He's the one in the yellow shirt. I was just going to buy a bow from him, and then I find out that he is a man that's trained Olympian archers. He has been writing books for years. He's been an archer for over 74 years and a hunter. And he says to us after we buy this little bow for Sammy years ago, he says, "Would you like to give me a little lesson?" I said, "Oh, that'd be great." And we went out in the backyard, and he has trees with targets all over trees in his backyard. He said, "Well, let's use that target there." He said, "Let me show you how to stand." And I'm over on the side. I've taught lots of kids at Alton Bay, New Hampshire, how to do archery. I've taught hundreds of kids how to do archery. I've taught all my grandkids how to do archery. I've taught some of your kids and grandkids how to do archery. And he says, "You need to hold the bow like this." And I'm going, "Oh? Well, that's one thing. And then you need to have your fingers like this." And I go, "Oh? Huh. Hadn't thought about that." "And when you bring the bow back, you got to put it right under." I went, "Oh? I've done archery for years. I could teach this man how to do archery." By the time he had done that little 15-minute lesson with Sammy, I wondered if I had ever used a bow before. Some of us think we're walking in the Spirit. But when you stand before the Holy Spirit, when you stand before the Lord and say, "Show me how to do this," we might say, "Oh my goodness, I don't even know how to walk." There's a sign up in Ossipee, New Hampshire that we passed on the way up to Storyland at Advent Christian Church. And it says, there's a place to put a lesson or a little statement. It says, "We begin looking like what we worship." That was good. We begin looking like what we worship. Who are we worshiping this morning? We already read verses 22 and 23 that gives us the characteristics of the one who looks like the one that we want to walk with. And when you walk in the Spirit, fruit comes out of our lives. Do you know how fruit is produced? Fruit's produced by hanging around the branch. Do you know who the branch is? It's Jesus. My Father's the husbandman. I'm the branch. These characteristics are obvious to people too, just like the bad characteristics are obvious. When you walk like this, no law can any longer be of help to you. When you're walking in the love of Christ, when you're walking in the joy of Christ, all of the Old Testament laws all of a sudden aren't important anymore, because you are more than meeting the goal that Christ has for you. Walk this way. Verse 25. "Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit." It's the Holy Spirit who brought you to Jesus. It's that same Spirit who will walk you into eternity. It was that same Spirit that helped Margaret get all the way to where she got until she fell down in a flower garden last week, and we had her funeral on Friday. It's that same Spirit that's going to get us all the way to the end if we keep walking with Him. Amen? My journal entries set Monday morning. Monday morning is when I start preparing for the next week's message. I hadn't read this passage yet that I just preached on. But Monday morning when I came into my office and I had my devotions, it was something I needed to write in my journal because God had been showing me the night before. And we're trying to listen to what the Holy Spirit is saying to us around here, aren't we? We're trying to understand the will of the Lord. And I said, I'm not sure I want to share this. He says, okay, you don't have to. But this week I thought, if you're walking in the Spirit, I need to share it. So I'm going to share it with you right now. I wrote in my journal, I won't say it exactly, we need to learn how to do spiritual warfare. We need to start learning how to say to the enemy, no more, that's far enough. You can't go any farther in my life. I'm a Christian. I'm following Jesus. You can't do that anymore. And we've got to learn how to resist him. And the Bible said in James, we can resist the devil and he will what? Flee from us. We've got to learn how to do that. It's not a natural thing. We've got to learn how to walk. Then the other thing I wrote down, two spirits that I sense are among us. And I have no details, praise God, but the Spirit does. Two spirits that we need to come against as a church body. One of them is we need to resist the spirit of lewdness. And we need to start resisting the spirit of anger. There's some of that way down and deep in some of us. And we're just kind of getting used to that. We've got to learn how to resist that in the name of the Lord. I'm saying that to you because I think the Spirit wants me to say that to you. People, it's time to stop dilly-dallying along the path. It's time to get serious in our walk. I've been convicted by the Spirit that it's time to walk worthily of the call. Ephesians 4:1 says this. Live a life worthy of the calling that you have received. Colossians 1:9 says this. For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you and asking God to fill you with the knowledge of His will through all spiritual wisdom and understanding. And we pray this in order that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and may please Him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God. And 1 Thessalonians 2 says this. Verse 12. I'm going to read the verse before that. For you know that we dealt with each of you as a father deals with his own children, encouraging, comforting, and urging you to live lives worthy of God who calls you into His kingdom and glory. Is it possible that we're not walking in His way, doing what we think? We're doing what we think is right. Is it the Spirit who is really directing us, or have we slipped into walking in the flesh? Let's walk in His way. Amen? Let's walk in His way. How many days do we have left before He comes back? I don't know. We can't make any guesses. But I don't think it's long. I don't think it's long. I believe God wants us to step into a new era, even as a church. Is it possible that He is speaking to us clearly and loudly this morning? I think so. I'm going to close right here and ask the Lord to use what we just shared to minister to your heart, because I believe the Holy Spirit's talking to us today. Amen. God go with you as you walk. Amen.